How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons.
Some 95 to 96% of our congregations have remained in the ELCA since that decision. If you're in a congregation that reads Scripture as not permitting gay and lesbian people to live in publicly held accountable same-gender monogamous relationships, your congregation can teach that. You will not be forced to call a minister other than who is consistent with that teaching.
That is the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Bishop Mark Hansen, speaking recently to the press, making some statements about the decision taken last summer by that church body to openly advocate for same-sex marriage, same-sex relationships, and the ordination of actively homosexual clergy. He says nothing's really changed. If you don't like the decision, 4 or 5% of the congregations have left. If you don't like the decision, no one's going to make you change your mind there. It sounds like a very open-minded way of approaching these things. Is that how it's really going to go in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? Joining us to talk about this and to offer his reaction, Dr. Robert Benne. He's a regular guest. He's director of the Center for Religion and Society at Roanoke College. He's a member of the Advisory Council for Lutheran Core, that is Coalition for Renewal, and he is author of the book, Good and Bad Ways to Think About Religion and Politics. Dr. Benne, welcome back.
Good to be back with you.
Bishop Hansen makes it sound like nothing's really changed for the average Joe in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Do you agree?
Well, he's partly right, because many, many congregations want to avoid conflict at all costs, and pastors particularly want to. Many congregations are fragile, and a public discussion of these things mean you lose on either way you go. So in one way, he's right, and the ELCA is betting that that force of inertia will keep the ELCA relatively intact because people fear this sort of conflict. But on the other hand, there are over 700 congregations that have left already, 500 in the Lutheran Congregations Mission for Christ, and around 200 for the New North American Lutheran Church. So, and a whole lineup of people waiting to take their first and second votes. I don't know how many. No one seems to know how many there are. But 700 congregations, pretty good number. And I would guess at the very least it's going to be 1,000 with gains in both LCMC and the New North American Lutheran Church. And, of course, the big signal is the tremendous loss of income at the headquarters in Chicago and in many, many synods. So a tremendous loss of income, which means retrenchment and cutting back in virtually every synod. That's a regional organization, and certainly in the headquarters. So things are far more serious than that breezy announcement suggested.
So even if a congregation, say, cannot muster the vote to exit the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, or for whatever reason they wish to stay and see if maybe things can turn around in the future, that doesn't mean that they're going to be sending their money up the ladder, so to speak, especially if they're unhappy with the decision taken last summer about same-sex relationships. Less than a minute before our break.
Precisely. The decisions offended particularly the older generation of Lutherans who tend to have conservative opinions about these matters, and they provide most of the economic wherewithal of local congregations and the church, and they are the ones who are sitting on their money or diverting it in other directions, and it's been devastating to the church, to the ELCA and its synods.
We're talking about some recent comments made by the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the largest Lutheran church body in the United States, Bishop Mark Hansen. He made some statements to the press about same-sex relationships and the future of his church, his attitude or his administration's attitude toward congregations that would dissent from the decision to approve of same-sex marriage, same-sex ordination, and the like. I invite your questions and your comments. We are coming to you live this Monday, March the 28th. Dr. Robert Benne is our guest, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. We'll have the remainder of the program on this subject with Dr. Robert Benny. He's director of the Center for Religion and Society at Roanoke College and a member of the Advisory Council for Lutheran Core, Coalition for Renewal. More with him on the ELCA and same-sex relationships after this.
Christ Your Life, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Even though we die, we live. When a Christian breathes his last, no one dies. No one can die. For Christ has already died in the Christian's place.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift before Easter Sunday. Make a secure online donation today. IssuesETC.org. Thanks for your support during the season of Lent.
You'll find study notes highlighting the promises of God and Jesus' death for you in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, the Faith Alive Student Bible. This full-color Bible for students ages 8 through high school is edited by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher. You can browse before you buy at IssuesETC.org, or you can purchase the Faith Alive Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at IssuesETC.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
It's much more important for me to create a climate in a church where you feel safe, honored, and free to engage others around Scripture, around the difficult issues of faith and life. So often those contemporary issues are used to polarize. We see them as calling us together to convene. Our unity is within our diversity.
That's Presiding Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Mark Hansen, again making statements to the press recently about same-sex relationships and how his church, after the decision to approve of these relationships officially and unofficially, are dealing with the fallout, so to speak. Dr. Robert Benny is our guest. You would have to listen to 2.5 weeks of Issues Etc. ordinarily to get as much Issues Etc. as you're going to get in 24 hours coming up the first week in April, actually beginning the second week in April, for Issues Etc. 24. This is the second time we've done this. It's a marathon Issues Etc., a live 24 hours of Issues Etc. from 4 p.m. Friday the 8th of April to 4 p.m. Saturday the 9th of April, uninterrupted, live in its entirety, books of the Bible taken in two-hour chunks with some of our very best guests here on Issues Etc. for 24 hours of live Issues Etc. You can listen live at IssuesETC.org during Issues Etc. 24 beginning April the 8th, Friday at 4 o'clock. Also, I'm sure you want to tell people about this. One of the best ways to do it, through your church bulletin, go to our website, IssuesETC.org, click support, and right at the top of the page in red, you'll find a way to download the Issues Etc. 24 bulletin insert. It has all the guests, all the times, and all of the books of the Bible we'll be studying in that live 24 hours of Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org, click support right there at the top of the page. You can download and print it, take it to your pastor or your secretary, and help us promote Issues Etc. 24. Dr. Benny, we just heard Presiding Bishop Hansen talk about, well, he said, our unity is in our diversity, referencing the fact that not everyone in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America agrees that Scripture permits same-sex relationships. What does unity in diversity mean?
Well, it's a lot of obfuscation and hogwash, like his other statements were. I could use more colorful language, but I won't on a family program here. That's just nonsense. Of course, if you have diversity on key core Christian teachings and doctrines, you've got big-time problems. And there's big-time problems in the ELCA, not only on sexuality issues, but on a host of issues having to do with biblical interpretation, the nature of evangelism, the nature of worship language and worship about God. There are just loads of issues that come close to the center of Christian faith, and that's just nonsense to talk about diversity increasing unity, or there's unity in your diversity. So I think things are kind of falling apart. The fact of the matter is, however, is that we've had a generation that has not been very well catechized, several generations, and so most lay people are not theologically versed well enough to carry on these kind of discussions, but they sense that something's wrong, at least the more intense members of the laity and the more theologically informed. So it's precisely those kinds of people that are upset by the seeming lack of consensus or any kind of discipline on the core meanings and claims of the faith, which goes back to his crazy statement that as a bishop, he's going to try to create an atmosphere, not actually do any teaching. What are bishops for? That's one of the key characteristics of a bishop, is to guard the faith and to teach the faith, and here he's backing off. But that's very disingenuous. We people have known for decades where he is on these issues, and he's pushed and pushed behind the scenes. And while he doesn't come out directly on these things, he's been pulling strings behind the scenes for a long, long time. So people know what he thinks about this matter, but he won't admit it publicly. And then he turns around and says he's not going to speak publicly about it, which any bishop worth his salt should speak publicly about it.
Well, I mean, if this is really, to me, at least from what it appears to me, this is really about having the courage of your convictions. And I think this goes not only for Presiding Bishop Hansen, but for the rest of the leadership, the hierarchy of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. If it is wrong to say that homosexuality, that behavior, those relationships are sinful, if that is wrong, any bishop worth his salt should be willing to say it's wrong. But it doesn't sound like Bishop Hansen is willing to say anything is wrong.
No, he's not. And we still have bishops in the ELCA who say their mind is not made up on this issue. Now, can you believe that? A defining issue of the day, and a bishop has not made up his mind. This is just incredible. And one of the bitterest disappointments of us dissenters is that there were no group of dissenting bishops, conservative bishops with Orthodox opinions, who were willing to take a public stand as a group. If that would have happened, there would have been much less of a split in the LCA, because there would have been at least a rallying point. But they didn't even do that. So we had no conservative bishops standing up for the tradition. And so that just meant a lot of congregations felt they had to leave, and a lot of people felt they had to leave or sit on their money.
Does that mean there weren't any conservative bishops, or they were unwilling to break with the body politic of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
The latter. I believe there was an agreement. I don't know this for a fact. An agreement to kind of circle the wagons, and that no bishop would be allowed, or there'd be huge pressure on a bishop not to publicly dissent anymore from the ELCA teaching. So it is quiet. There is not a bishop that, and I know there are conservative bishops who are appalled by this decision, but not one of them has stepped up and said anything publicly.
Are you saying that had one or more been willing to do that when these decisions were being taken by the ELCA last summer, it may well have, if not completely prevented, it may well have mitigated the losses that the churches have suffered numerically?
Oh, certainly, because there would have been a little hope. You know, we're following the path of the Episcopal bishops, only we were worse off than the Episcopal bishops. At least the Episcopals had a group of Orthodox bishops who did stand up and provide a rallying point. In due time, they felt they had to leave. But for a long time, they gave some hope to lay people that indeed things could be returned, these things could be reversed. But not an ELCA bishop has taken a public stand. And it's been very depressing. By the way, when it would have been crucial was after the decisions, if a group would have stood up. But they didn't, and they met. And I believe there's an agreement by the bishops not to break ranks in any way.
What is the future, just asking you to give a reasonable, educated guess, what is the future of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? What is the future of those groups that have decided they could no longer stay in that fellowship? About a minute for your response, Doctor.
Well, God knows. God only knows, and the Spirit blows where it wills, and it'll have to correlate with increased faithfulness and zeal about the gospel. And I don't think that's present in the ELCA. Certainly, it is present in some parishes and some local places, and among some people in the hierarchy. I don't deny that. But as a whole, it will continue to decline, I think. I hope that the NALC, the new North American Lutheran Church, flourishes. I hope CORE flourishes, but I do not know that for the fact. And LCMC, because it is so decentralized, I'm afraid it will fragment. Right now it isn't, and I don't want to talk negatively about it, but that's my fear. So as a whole, the Lutheran tradition in America, including the Missouri Synod, is just in gentle decline, and the ELCA is more precipitous. But we just have to get on our knees in repentance, it seems to me, and plead with the Spirit to renew our life together and take the kind of measures to get back to the central focus of our faith, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit.
With only about 10 seconds here, because our time goes very short, do you believe Bishop Hansen's promise that if a congregation stays in the ELCA but does not agree with the church's decision on homosexuality, that they're basically going to treat them hands off? Don't worry, you'll still get pastors who will uphold your viewpoint. Do you believe that promise? 10 seconds.
Not in the long run. In the short run, I believe it, because they want people to continue to give money, and to be harsher on a local congregation would really turn people off. So in the short run, they're going to respect that. In the long run, they won't. The bishops will not send pastors there. And pastors will be hard to come by that will come through the seminaries that have traditional viewpoints.
Dr. Robert Benet is director of the Center for Religion and Society at Roanoke College. He's a member of the Advisory Council for Lutheran CORE, Coalition for Renewal. And he's author of the book, Good and Bad Ways to Think About Religion and Politics. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Benet, thank you again for your time.
Thank you. Anytime.
It is remarkable to observe, and it's not as though there aren't signposts and, you know, you ever been down the highway after a big ice storm and you see cars turned over in the median, you see cars pulled off onto the side, you see trucks tumped over, you see people stopped along the side of the road, can't go any farther. It's not as though others haven't gone this path before them, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and it's not as though the highway that they're on isn't strewn with abandoned vehicles and people who have put themselves in danger spiritually. It's not as though they don't know where it goes, where the road is headed. And yet, for some reason, when one abandons the solid testimony of Holy Scripture and the center of that Scripture in the saving work of Jesus Christ for sinners, all sinners, well, you kind of get blind to what's ahead and what's around you, and you walk that wide open path to destruction. Sad. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.